change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, my friends. This is Mickey Desai again with the Nonprofit Snapcast, sitting across the table from Julie Barwig for episode 2 of our conversation about her role with Keep Smyrna Beautiful. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I'm glad we could do this. Last episode, we talked about the Adopt-A-Mile program and the nature of what it meant to be working in a hybrid organization. You said you had a bunch of other programs under your purview. What are those? And just tell us some more about those.
Sure. So we have... one of my favorite ones is Rivers Alive. And it's not a specific Keep Smyrna Beautiful program. It's an event that we have incorporated here, but it's actually a statewide event. And it is the state's largest annual waterway cleanup. And we go down by Cobb Parkway and go next to the Chattahoochee, and we do some tributaries over there. I don't know why. I just love it so much. It's just so much fun because you get this past year, we had close to 80 volunteers.
Wow.
For the morning. Yes. It was probably one of the largest river cleanups that we've ever done.
That's amazing.
That we were really excited about. Mm-hmm. And we go out for a few hours and we clean up litter along the road, roadway. We're not talking about Adopt a Mile anymore.
it's a different sort of mile.
Along the trail, right. Along the stream. And it is just so much fun. I don't know if this was my first one with Keep Smyrna Beautiful. I had actually done a Rivers Alive back in college in Athens. So I was really excited when I learned that that was one of our events. And I don't know if it was really fun because we went out with a group from Life University. Yep. It was the lacrosse team. And they were very, very excited. Like... very enthusiastic to pick up litter. I was like, I was into it. I'm like, yes. Like, if I could get every college student to be this excited about cleaning up litter, like, I would not have, I mean, hopefully I wouldn't have a job because then there would be no litter and the community would be beautiful and I wouldn't have anything to do. That'd be great.
That is fantastic.
So we have Rivers Alive. That's one of my favorites. Uh-huh. We have our annual Bring One for the Chipper, which is a Christmas tree recycling event. Again, that's also a state program that we incorporate here locally. That's a Keep Georgia Beautiful Foundation program. So we're over collecting Christmas trees the first Saturday in January. Mm-hmm. So it's nice and chilly, but it's still a very, very fun event.
Right.
We still have a really good time. And the company that we work with is able to provide based on, you know, the amount of trees they have, but they will provide free truckloads of mulch back to the community.
I see.
So that's really nice. We're keeping all the trees out of the landfill and we're able to then bring it back and people can then incorporate that mulch into their yards.
My friends will be like, it's March. Can I bring in my tree now?
Yes. Well, actually, the thing that we usually run into is we've been working with this particular Home Depot for many years. They know that it's coming. One of our board members talks to the store manager in advance and they kind of like section off an area because people will start bringing their trees the day after Christmas.
Really?
They're like, we're ready. You know, like they're coming. So like we'll show up there. It's usually like a week and a half after Christmas that we're doing it, where there's already a huge pile of trees. This last time they filled up like 2 full trucks with just the pile. That's
people
not
don't mess around.
They're ready. And it's really funny. So that's actually the problem that we run into. There we go. With that event is that the tree, there's so many trees already there, which is not a problem. Right. We love the trees, but it's supposed to generally be just like a one day drop up, but it never actually turns out to be. So another program is our Adopt-A-Stream, which is again a statewide program. We do like to incorporate a lot of the statewide programs here.
Yeah.
So Adopt-A-Stream, we have as a group, Keep Smyrna Beautiful has adopted 12 streams in Smyrna to monitor. So we basically monitor the water quality. Right now we're doing chemical tests. So we test the oxygen level, the pH, the conductivity. And that is one of my favorites too. I don't know why. I guess I just like streams. It's all the stream stuff.
You know,
but this one in particular is because I majored in social sciences, and you get to do a bunch of chemicals. Like one of them is like sulfuric acid, and I just feel like Bill Nye. I just feel like a mini Bill Nye out there, like testing the water and stuff. Like it just there's all these chemicals, so that's just it. Just kind of like
that's fantastic.
Brings out my childhood.
Oh yeah,
And just kind of brings out the little pretend scientist in me. But it's so important to be testing the water quality.
Yeah.
So we are currently recruiting volunteers. We actually used to have a board member who did all 12 streams on her own.
Whoa.
Yeah, she was really committed and she was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we definitely miss her because she has rolled off the board. She did that last year right before I came in. So now I'm doing a majority of them. And then we have a few other volunteers who have been recruited and they have to go through a more rigorous training than, say, if you're just a regular Keeps Marina Beautiful volunteer, because it's a state program and you have to be trained. You have to be certified to test.
Right.
So
DNR does the training.
The Cobb County Watershed Stewardship Program.
Okay.
They do the training. And that's over in their offices in Marietta.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they schedule it. They schedule it based on their availability.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the trainings, they offer them like maybe once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can come on and be part of our group and we can have them monitor.
We have too many things to talk about.
I know. There's but, so many things.
I mean, you're talking about getting on the water and I currently serve on the Georgia River Network board.
Oh, really?
And I used to be on the Georgia Lake Society board.
Oh, my goodness. So you understand why I love all the streams.
Yeah. There's just something about getting out there. And then more and more of the research says that humans actually don't get enough nature time.
Yeah.
They don't get outside enough. And I strongly encourage anyone to get out there and make that a part of their day, right?
Yes.
And so, but
it's been wonderful. And what's great about the Adopt-A-Stream is that it is probably, it's theoretically one of our more committed because it's once a month, but it's probably also the most flexible because you can come, we share the kit with the volunteers and you can come grab your kit, go out. Monitoring, once you get it down, maybe takes like 30 minutes. You know, once you get the steps down, it's super easy.
Yep.
There's only a few steps and then you can just come back. Our one volunteer who actually just got certified a few months ago was like, can I do more? Like, I only have one. And can I have like two or three? And I'm like, absolutely. You can have two or three. Yeah. We try to make sure that he said that at the beginning. He was like, yeah, I really want to do two or three. And I was like, let's get you settled into one. Let's make sure that we're not overloading you first. Because a lot of the times, especially when you're a volunteer is excited about something, and even when, you know, you're really enthusiastic in the beginning and then life happens. You just maybe don't have enough time. But he, a few months later, is like, no, I really want it. And I'm like, I got you. I have plenty to distribute. So please. So that's been exciting.
Which leads me to the next question. How do you find people? How do you find new people?
Well, I have tried to have a variety of ways to incorporate new folks. So I love working with volunteers. And that's kind of been my niche in nonprofits before coming here. And when I came in, they were focusing a lot on regular mail, like snail mail kind of communication, and then some email, but it wasn't something where you could have like an online sign up and it's really easy. I really like to take away any sort of barriers for volunteers to come out and help.
Right.
Like I don't want them, like they should have to work more when they get here and during the volunteer opportunity, then really trying to like navigate how to sign up, getting through all this. I want to really I like to streamline the volunteer process.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I've like gotten us on MailChimp. I've gotten us like all these small things and done online sign up. And then just trying to reintegrate and bring in people who have worked with us because there are people who just, you know, maybe just didn't have that communication.
Right.
And then having other avenues. So thankfully, we have beautiful Kennesaw State University right up the road.
Right.
And they are very, very active volunteers.
Excellent.
They have a VKSU site, Volunteer KSU, and they are always volunteering during the school year. Like, they need hours for their classes, for other things, and I'm happy to utilize them. And I'm happy to give them places to volunteer. So we use that. I also use Volunteer Match. And then I really like to go into the other universities and nonprofits, the universities and campuses that I've gone to as other, with other nonprofits when I've worked there.
Sure.
So I'm trying to go to Georgia State, Georgia Tech, right. KSU. I'm trying to really get into some of them because college kids have very flexible schedules.
Exactly.
And we like them. And right. We like that they're enthusiastic. And then just also getting out into the community. We always send out our volunteer updates in the city administrator's newsletter, which is great, which is another really good perk of being a hybrid organization is that the city will highlight the stuff that we're doing in the newsletter. And they'll be like, What do you want to highlight this month? And I'll be like, our Adopt-A-Mile, our literally, the river's alive, all these other things, so that we're able to really get into the community. And then we also go to community events, very homegrown community events like the Jonquil Festivals.
Yes.
So the Spring and Fall Jonquil Festival, we are always at, and we are handing out in volunteer opportunities and trying to get folks involved. This is not happening yet, but I would love to have some sort of like event where it's specifically for Smyrna so that the community can meet the nonprofits, the city departments that need assistance, and volunteers, because like Parks and Rec uses volunteers.
Yeah.
The historical homes might need volunteers, the museum, the library, all these places might need volunteers. So I am slowly trying to kind of convince people to have a Smyrna Volunteer Day, because in college and high school, I was able to volunteer. There were all these things I could find, I could do all these things. And then as an adult, it just gets a little bit harder to find places to volunteer, find a mission and a culture, a volunteer culture that you mesh with. And as a volunteer manager and administrator, I'm like, I've gotten even more picky, which is silly. But
wait, you've gotten more picky about your volunteers?
About where I volunteer.
And where you volunteer.
Not what I do as a volunteer, because I'm open to anything.
Sure.
I am open. Like, I volunteer with an animal rescue, and I'm like, I do not care. You can have me cleaning. I don't care if I, snuggle the kittens, love it, perfect, that's a great day. I could be cleaning. I don't care what I do. Give me an assignment. I'm happy to do it. But I really look for good volunteer programs and a culture of volunteers where it's something that I like to create, where people feel appreciated, that their time is utilized well, that they get the training and resources that they need to be an efficient and effective volunteer. So I really want to make sure that happens for me too. So as somebody who volunteered from, I don't know, whenever the animal shelter would let me, starting, I think at like 17, like that was like the minimum age I started volunteering. Till now, I have taken my experiences as a volunteer and volunteers' experiences that I've worked with and kind of shaped that into molding a really strong volunteer program. And that's what I have brought here into the events and into volunteer recruitment is make sure that we're trying to reach out in all areas, give people easy ways to sign up and easy way and all the information that they need, not overloading, but giving them good information that they need prior and giving them any sort of on-site training that they need to be effective.
Yeah.
So recruitment, I try and get out in the community and then take it from there as much as possible to try and keep them coming back.
Exactly. Well, this has been good. We're almost out of time, and I didn't know if there was enough time to mention COVA in any way, the Council of Volunteer Administrators. I know you're on the board.
Yes, I am the secretary and PR chair.
So if anybody listening to this wanted to drop you a line, could they find you on the COVA Atlanta website?
They definitely can. Yes, it's atlantacova.org, and my information is listed there. And as the PR chair, all of the information emails to info@atlantacova.org come to me. Really, any way you get in contact with COVA, you can pretty much reach me.
Julie, I really appreciate the time. Thanks for making the time to do this.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And to our listeners, thanks as always for listening to us. This has been the Nonprofit Snapcast, a production of Wellspring Nonprofit Resource and the Nonprofit Snapshot.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.